Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm Lorraine.
I'm Nettie.
My name is Mamie.
I'm Becca.
Hi, I'm Heidi.
I'm Katie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Sister Share. We're so happy that you joined us this week. We are six sisters who live around the globe, and we like to have conversations about motherhood, parenting, meal prep, anything related to our lives. Today on the podcast, we have...
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Idaho.
Nettie in Okinawa.
Mamie, and today I'm in Colorado.
And Katie from Spanish Fork.
Our topic today and the principle we'll be discussing is setting goals, perfect for the new year coming up next week. And we believe that setting goals is valuable and necessary for both individuals and families. Mamie, you had a great quote about that.
Yes, I think Katie's the one that reminded us all, but this comes from Elder Ballard, gave his impression of the importance of goal setting and making plans as he said this: I am so thoroughly convinced that if we don't set goals in our life and learn how to master the technique of living to reach our goals, we can reach a ripe old age and look back on our life only to see that we reached but a small part of our full potential. When you learn to master the principle of setting a goal, you will then be able to make a great difference in the results you attain in this life.
Awesome.
I love that. So I just am grateful that I feel like we had a really strong background in goal setting. I remember being very young and our dad, heard a quote probably similar to that and started setting up monthly family councils where we would set goals. And it was a very structured environment. And even though every month we didn't always accomplish the goals we set, we had a meeting and a family council where we talked about them, reviewed them, and discussed how to accomplish them. And he called it our family organization. And we set goals in very specific areas, which as I look back, I think they were very effective areas: in family home education and activities, in family history, in being prepared and personal welfare, and also in missionary work and reaching out religiously. And I think we've all taken that structure that we grew up with and built our own parts of that and taken bits and pieces in our own way to fit our own families. But that has been a good thing for me to look back on.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to me that in recent years, there's been a big emphasis on youth setting goals in four areas that relate to the development of the Savior Jesus Christ, as stated in Luke 2:41. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So recently there's been a lot of goal setting in the four areas of social, physical, intellectual, and spiritual. And those directly actually correlate to the goals we set growing up several decades ago.
I love that the new areas also come from that scripture in Luke, is it chapter 2? So it focuses on the Savior and how he grew and developed, bringing our focus and our kids' focus to the Savior constantly as we're goal setting. That's just so powerful. And I would also say that youth is a good time to set goals, but it doesn't start when they're youth. You start when they're quite young, because then they're in the habit. Once they become youth and turn into teenagers, it's hard to introduce something new. But if you can start when they're young, you can still do all those same four areas from when they're quite young. As a family, we like to do PPIs. PPIs are personal priesthood interviews with our children on a regular basis. Sometimes we're not always perfect at having it regularly, but we will do our best to pull aside a child. I think we try and do a couple every week so that it's not overwhelming for us as parents, but we just sit down with our child for about 30 minutes and talk to them about what goals they are working on, how we can help as parents, and how they've done the past month so that we can follow up. One of the things that I learned, though, that I wanted to share in my training in the past year is to make sure that we are empowering our children and not taking on goals. their responsibility. We want our children to own the goal. As parents, we want to own our own, so we set the good example, but we also want our children to own their own goals. So a couple of questions that you can ask your child when you're talking to them about what goals they've set are, number one, what do you want to see happen? What do you want the end result to be? What's the goal, essentially? Number two, what have you tried to already do in regards to this goal? Number three, what can you still try? What do you want to try next? And number four, how can we help? That way you're not taking the goal on or saying, okay, this is your goal, then this is, we'll take this over for you. But you empower the child to do that in their own way. You're there to help and support as a parent.
That's great. Those are wonderful principles, that wonderful practices. That's great. Those are wonderful practices that support the principle of goal setting.
I'm taking notes as we speak, Mame. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad I can help, Ray.
I think along the same lines as Mame, the structure is what's been so helpful. You have that structure of meeting with your children every few weeks so that they can set the goals. On a parenting, on a couple standpoint, we also have that structure for us, and I feel like that's what's been really helpful for our marriage, and just, you know, keeping the home together, as we every week know that we're going to sit down on Sunday evening, and we have a, you know, we have a structured meeting about what's going on in our life, what are our goals for the next week, where do we want to be, how do we want to change, what's going right, what's going wrong, we're troubleshooting what needs to happen. We do that on a weekly basis, but also something that's been really helpful for our marriage is that I was given a recommendation at in a class in college about missions, that went with every new companion in what my teacher called the honeymoon period, we should set goals. And so I did that all through my mission. Every time I had a new companion, before you get used to each other and before you know each other's weaknesses, we'd sit down and set goals. And I did that when I got married too. That's been so helpful. We don't have to ask each other if we're going to have family home evening. We don't have to ask each other if we're going to have our weekly, what we call presidency meeting, which is couple meeting. We don't have to ask each other if we're going to have daily prayer or daily scripture. We sat down and made goals to do that every single day of our marriage. And I feel like the structure has been so helpful to have just a place every week to sit down and see where we're at. If we didn't have that structure, we would probably be hit and miss, you know, oh, we should set some goals, we set them. And then because we don't have that structure, we're kind of lax on following up, but it's really the follow-up that helps you achieve the goal.
Kate, I just really want to also say that it can be hard when you are heavily involved in work and in religious activities and have meetings so many different places to want to sit down and have another meeting with your spouse, or to get your husband on board with having a meeting with you. And I remember Mama once saying that they felt like it was their family was the most important structure in their life, the most important organization in their life. And so it was so important to have a meeting for that organization. It's important for us to remember how much we want our families to succeed. If we want our families to succeed, then yes, we will prioritize having that meeting with our spouse so that we can be on the same page. I also think that having that weekly meeting with our spouse, we call it in our family, we call it the executive council meeting. But having that weekly meeting as a spouse gives us time to to go over things that could be heated in the moment. But then when you have that weekly meeting, you're not as, how do I say this?
Not as emotional.
You're not as emotional, so you can save those heated argument topics for when you're calm, when you're not tired. We plan a time every week when we're not tired. That's key for us so that we can see things fresh and calmly talk through things, and that's been a huge lifesaver for us.
I think there's always a level of maybe stress or pressure when we talk about goal setting. And sometimes around the new year, I also see a lot of chatter about, I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm not going to set goals. I don't want that level of anxiety. And I do feel like when we set goals, then we often look back and think, oh, I'm not going to make it, or there's no way I can achieve that goal. But one thing I've noticed is just the act of talking about goals or the act of setting goals is helpful. It kind of clears your mind, gives you a direction. And when we hold our monthly family council and talk about the goals we set last month or the previous month, even though we may not have reached the goals we set, maybe we met one goal, or maybe we at least progressed a little bit, or maybe we can still look back and see that setting the goal at least pointed us in a good direction. So I think there's value in goal setting, even if we're not going to make it to the top of every mountain.
Go ahead, Ray.
I was just going to say that I look back often, because we have our monthly family councils with our four goal areas, just like Mama and Pa did as we were growing up. And I remember months growing up where we set goals and did not achieve them. We just would laugh that we didn't do that. Should we do it another month? Should we try something different? It gives, and that brings comfort to me now, because we do the same thing. And it also gives us an opportunity to say, okay, is this a goal that is important to us as a family, and how can we make it really happen this month? Or maybe this wasn't so important, or we've moved on to another important issue and we can let that go and move on. I agree that talking about it every month and having a structure set up to discuss it and look at it and think about it is helpful, whether we make the goal or not.
It's still progression.
Then we can move it through. Yeah, it's still progression.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that we need to just reemphasize the areas that we're talking about. We have presidency meetings, or like our spouses, we meet with our spouse. So that's one area where we regularly should meet. And then we have meeting with our children one-on-one, which is also so essential. And also the family coming together on a regular basis to set goals as a family and discuss them as a family.
So how does this look with the new year coming up? What are some practices for goal setting? The family council is a great structure, but also what are some other ideas?
Okay, so I'll start. We have part of our New Year's Day activity is to pull out a piece of construction paper for all of us. And we have a family activity where we fold our construction paper into four squares and we label them with markers: social, intellectual, physical, spiritual. And we each sit down and write down 2 year-long major goals in those areas that we personally want to accomplish. We sit down and we share them. And then I pull out the tape and hand every child a piece of tape, and we tape it somewhere in their closet or somewhere on their mirror where they will see it every day, all year. And we pull off our old ones and bring them up and talk, put a little smiley by the things we've accomplished, a little frown by the things we haven't. We reevaluate where we're at in our life. And goals change because our kids are growing. So they will evolve. Maybe what they missed last year has changed into a new goal this year. But we do that as a family. We talk about each other's goals, why that is a goal for us, and then we post it for the year in a special spot for them. That's something that we have learned to do and enjoy. It's one of our fun activities for the year.
One of our fun activities we call Blue Sky, and I think it originally came from Disney. We heard that they do this when they meet together with all their higher-ups to plan and prepare and do different goals. But we have Blue Sky, and we like to do that at the beginning of the year as a family when we all sit down together. We say, okay, it's Blue Sky, and Blue Sky means that anybody can come up with anything, like, oh, we want to go as a family to Disney World this year, or why don't we all learn to scuba dive? I mean, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be realistic. It doesn't have to be something that we really actually will accomplish. We just want to share dreams that we have and fun things that we could do as a family. And it gives an opportunity. The idea is that anybody can say anything and nobody's going to shoot it down. We can talk about realism in a little bit, but it's fun to dream together. It helps to inspire. It helps to help kids to be creative and think outside the box. We love to do our Blue Sky. And then after we get out all the ideas, then we can talk about what do we really want to do for our family vacation this year. and bring it more down to the realistic state.
When we have our family time around the new year, some of the traditions you'll all recognize from our childhood that I just loved, we take time to look back and take time to look forward. So on New Year's Eve, we look back and everybody gets to share their three favorite memories of the year, and we type those out and put them in our family record. And then we look forward, and as parents, we write two fortunes for each of our children, things that are going to happen that year on a little piece of paper. We roll up the tiny piece of paper, put it in a balloon, blow it up, put them all over the room, and then take turns popping these balloons and reading the fortunes inside. For example, so-and-so will learn to ride a bike this year, or so-and-so will graduate from school and choose a university this year. Things that are probably going to happen but are still fun to mention, and that's part of our fun New Year's Eve party. And then on New Year's Day, we look forward and we just get copies of the calendar and fill in all the dates we know are going to happen, all the birthdays, all the holidays, all the vacations we already know are coming up, all the major events we have, and that kind of clears our minds and gets us ready for the new year. So again, take time to look back and time to look forward in a fun, celebratory way.
I would only connect those two thoughts that the fun ideas that we come up with, the things we want to do, like go camping or go hike a waterfall, that after we put in the main events, that's when we pencil in those things. So we make sure that they're at least on the calendar. So when May comes or July, we go through our calendar at our family council and think, oh yeah, we wanted to hike this mountain this month. Can we still make that happen?
The fun thing is, you think about any major organization, and of course they calendar for the year or they look ahead for 12 months. So a family should definitely do the same. A family is also an organization. But it's also exciting to know that we really can't predict what's going to happen that year. I mean, 4 years ago in January, we didn't anticipate this year we will move overseas. Or last year in January, we didn't anticipate this year we'll have a big family wedding. And so, of course, those things will happen and take precedence, but it's still fun to look ahead and plan what we do know and also think, I wonder what wonderful things will happen.
And we shouldn't get bent out of shape if they don't happen exactly as we planned. Yeah. It's like you said, Nan, we need to remember that there will be things that come up and things that will change, but it's still fun to plan and have it in place.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. When you're working with children and they're growing and developing, as parents, you can see sometimes so much more clearly than they can what they need to work on. And how do you bring that up to them in a way that is not totally devastating to them, and so that they think that it's their idea to set this goal and to make this change in their lives, when it could be a hard topic to bring up? Anybody have ideas on that?
I remember once as a child when Daddy met with me one-on-one, and I always loved it when we had our one-on-one time, and he drew a picture for me, and on the picture he showed, you know, my siblings with these round, happy faces. And then he drew my face, and my face was always looking at my older sister. And just very kindly, he said, it's fun to always think about, oh, when I'm old enough, I'll do that. But he said, think how much more wonderful it would be to live in the moment, enjoying that moment. If I could change my focus instead of always looking, I want to be older. I want to do this when I'm 12 and this when I'm 14 and this when I'm 16. Think, well, right now I'm 11. Look at all the great things I'm doing. And I remember that little simple cartoon picture stuck in my head, and it was a gentle way to say, stop trying to just be like your sister all the time.
It's a great idea. Thanks, Nan.
I like that, Nan. And I had a very similar situation going the other way a couple of times when I was in high school.
Now we know the truth.
Our joke was that Nen had a party life and I was always at home. And I remember Daddy sitting me down a couple of times and just very kindly saying, you know, it's okay. You both have different
talents, and it's fine. You have, and he would pull out some of my talents, and I always appreciated that, which I think in a big family is so valuable to have some one-on-one PPIs and just moments when you need to connect with your kids, because we needed that as children to recognize that we were individual, but we were important. I still remember Becca's story that she tells often because she was so tiny. When Pa sat her down and pulled out a nickel and a dime and just said a dime is worth more than a nickel. And that's all he said. He was a master at that, apparently.
We had wonderful, wonderful teachers in our parents.
I also do remember a time when I was already in college when Mom and Pa sat me down and brought up a concern they had that was devastating to me because I hadn't even seen anything like that on my radar, and it crushed me that they would think that that might be an issue for me. And it hurt for a couple of weeks. I was in a really low because of that. But also because of that, I remember being very aware of that going forward, and it made it so that I steered clear of that pathway that I could have taken in my life. So I'm very grateful that they brought it up, but it was a hard experience.
I think scriptures have helped us a lot too. I talking about scriptures, I know your thought, Mame, was I remember reading scriptures one morning as a family and pulling that out of the scriptures because I had a child that I was worried about and trying to not direct it at the child, but bring up the topic. I believe that scripture stories and listening to other people's stories and sharing things about people around us help us learn. I thought Katie had a point a while ago about Nephi and goal setting, and I loved that because I feel like scriptures are a good way to connect to ourselves. Kate, could you take a minute and tell us that? I thought it was so valuable.
Yeah, well, just if you look at the youth program today about goal setting, you can see that those steps were taken with Nephi and between Nephi and Lehi. And I don't have my goal setting book here from the church, but they, you know, talk about sitting down and setting the goal and then, you know, coming back and saying, how did that go? What do I need to change? And you can see as Lehi sat down with Nephi and said, we need to go back and get the plates. That didn't go very well the first couple times. And Nephi had to sit down and troubleshoot and then, you know, come back. Okay. What worked? What didn't? What's our next step? One thing that I have found, and you can see even as Nephi progresses, he starts setting his own goals. He's the one that's building the ship. He's the one that's asking how to make tools. He's the one that's setting standards for his own community once they get to the new world. You can see that Lehi, you know, led Nephi, and then Nephi became his own man and was able to start making goals himself. And that's how we get the righteous Nephites in the Promised Land. One thing that I find that was helpful in this situation in the scriptures, but also in my life, is the eternal truth. So when I set a goal, excuse me, I feel like what's helpful to me is to write down a scripture or a quote or something with eternal truth, so that when I'm less motivated, I can turn to that. There's power with eternal truth. There's power when you can count on a result. And, you know, we can't count on, you know, setting a goal about, you know, I'm going to run a marathon this year. I set that goal several times. And each time I set that goal, I get injured. And although I've already, you know, even registered for the marathon, it's never worked out for me. But when you set an eternal truth under your goal about, you know, when we're physically fit or when we prioritize taking care of our body, our temple, then, you know, this happens or whatever. When you just have a spiritual truth there, then you can keep everything in perspective. I think it's motivating, but it also helps you when you don't achieve the goal in the way you wanted to still remember what the principle was, why you even set that goal.
Thank you, Kate. That reminded me of one quick thing that speaks to Mame's question about what do you do when you see a problem with your child? We noticed often that it seems to be like the 9-10 age for us. When we see a child that has a problem, often it's been an anger issue and it's affecting our family. And so we've thought, what can we do about this with this one child? And the first time it happened, we prayed about it. And I just have to say, parents are entitled to revelation. So for us, this was our revelation. And we started having what we called 9 o'clocks, where everyone would go to bed, and then we would sit down with that child and read scriptures, just us together, because it was an anger management issue in one particular child. We just Googled some great worksheets and processes and discussions, and we would sit down and talk through some things with them and set miniature goals just with that child. No one else in the family knew what was happening other than they got to meet with us. And it was nightly, and it probably for several weeks. And then we saw change. I feel like the one-on-one and scripture and being in a good place, which we've already talked about, those principles are very important when we're working individually with the child, as is prayer and revelation. And then I have a question too. Sometimes in the day-to-day grind of our own children, and we have littles and teenagers, how do we keep them on track in the middle of the day? I can't keep up on all the piano, all of the music, all the dinner making or the dishes and the jobs. What do you do for that?
Are you talking specifically about daily chores or like goals, keeping up on their goals? Because that's my question. Once you make the cute chart, how do you do it all year?
Well, I think that's all the same, right?
Nan, I remember coming to your house just this last year and seeing your chart on the wall, and I think there were two boxes filled.
Yeah, it was all empty.
It had been up there for like 6 months. But one of the principles that we're talking about is showing the Lord that we are willing to be proactive. This doesn't answer your question, Ray. We can get to that in a minute, but just taking a step in the right direction and getting up in the morning and reminding ourselves and the Lord in prayer that we are committed, that we want to help our children achieve their goals, and that we're doing our best, goes a long way. We will get to the end of the day and, of course, not have been perfect at it all, but if we are proactive and thinking about it and striving for it, that just goes so far.
And even just have a visual reminder. As in fact, today as we were driving home, my 9-year-old said, "By the way, next year I'm doing a no sugar year." And we all kind of giggled under our breath, like, well, how long is that going to last? But at the same time, I think I'm so happy that he's watching some of his older siblings set different goals right now and think about their goals for the next year. So he's kind of jumping on the bandwagon. Well, I want to do something healthy and I want to fill out my scripture chart next year. And I think, like Mamie said, that's the value of it. Just facing ourselves toward that direction is powerful.
But Ray, another thought would be just having getting a routine in place is so valuable too. If you can have specific times, for example, that your kids know that they're practicing the piano, it's like a teacher. When I studied elementary education in college, you take the first 2 weeks of the school year to set up all of your routines with your children. You're not worried about teaching them multiplication yet. You're worried about them knowing to come in, hang up their coat, put their backpack away, do their seat work, and there's a routine. If we can get our kids to practice a routine and get in the habit of doing things at a certain time in a certain way, then that sets us up for success.
Point made. Kate, what do you do?
Nothing.
I'm glad you keep us grounded.
Katie's goal is to make it to the end of each day.
I also have a routine, and we have instead of taking I'm not sure if we're talking about a daily routine or if we're talking about our 4-area goals, but we take
you take a construction paper and divide it in four. We actually have a laminated sheet of paper. And then we just use wet erase markers. And we don't make them for the year. We don't have a big, I mean, we do, you know, have New Year's goals. But we sit down, we try to sit down monthly with our kids and just look at their goals and talk about, you know, what's here, erase if we need to erase, add if we need to add. And anyway, they're constantly changing. And I don't have anything special to add than what's already been said.
I will add one thing that occurred to me this past week as we've been celebrating Christmas. We read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and I've read that often. But it's so powerful to me that a person can change. That's the message of the book. Someone can change like Scrooge. And when you think about that in context with Christmas, then the reality is because the Savior was born, because he died for us, because of the atonement, we have the power to change and be cleansed. And if you top that with exactly 1 week after Christmas is the new year, then that becomes even more poignant. Because of Christmas, there can be a new year, a chance to renew, a chance to refocus, a chance to look ahead and set goals. And that's a powerful principle to teach our children. Last week was Christmas. We celebrated the coming of Jesus Christ. This week, we celebrate new life and new everything, and we can start afresh and anew. And it's such a beautiful time to set goals as a family and as individuals with our children.
Then that's so beautiful. I also want to just point out that I remember Mama, when she would share her goals for the year, for years and years, her goal was to organize her home that year. And I remember that coming up over and over. Well, I'm going to try again. I didn't get to it this year. And in the process, though, she became who she needed to be. And we need to be flexible and fluid and know that we set a goal and we're working on it. The Lord knows what we really need. Like Katie said, she still hasn't ever ran a marathon, but just think of who she is and what she has accomplished. The Lord, if we put forth the effort, the Lord will help us, change us, help us to have the life that you mentioned in the most beautiful way possible. He'll help our wills to align with his throughout the years, despite the fact that we may get to the new year and think, well, I didn't do that one again. But we are becoming, through all of this, we're becoming, especially as mothers, because we are the heart of the home. We have our own goals to think about, but we also have our spouse's goals and our children's goals that we're trying to manage and juggle. And we can feel like we are not making a single step forward as a mother. But in reality, we are. We are progressing. We're becoming who we need to be because we're striving to help so many people around us and help our families.
I like that. And as we come to the Lord with our goals, he will help us know what goals are important for us. There's so much opportunity in this life and so much we want to do and so many hopes and dreams we have for our kids. I liked that Katie brought up, we need the structure. If we have the structure of the meetings, the goal setting, the monthly, the yearly, the weekly, that will put us in a position to go to the Lord in those moments and move forward and make progress in the way he wants us to make it. And I'm just going to go back really quick as we put one of our weekly things every Sunday for our children is that they need to come and show us their goals for the week. We go through a lot of post-it notes, and every week a child takes a post-it note and writes what their goals are for the week and little boxes that they can check off. And we just stick them on our backsplash. So we have a row of post-it notes on our backsplash. That's helpful for me as a parent to follow up. But it's also comforting to see that my children have things to do. They have good goals. We've talked about those goals. We'll talk about them again on Sunday. The Lord can help us if we go to him with wherever we're at in our life and whatever goals we are wanting to accomplish, he can guide us.
Any parting thoughts, Katie?
Only one. it goes back to the eternal truth that's motivating. It's just that whenever I set a goal and I get to a point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore, I remember a lesson in the family night manual about, it's one of the first lessons that talks about, you know, how we're children of God. And then at the end of the lesson, it has you write down an attribute of God that you want. And then you write on a piece of paper, I am a child of God and I can be more blank. And as I strive to achieve my goals, and I get to a point where I'm like, this is not in my nature. I cannot do this. Then I always go back to that. I am a child of God and I can be more, and fill it in, patient or sympathetic or kind or whatever it is, because ultimately we are his children. He does want us to have his attributes, and he's trying to help us every step of the way if we will just turn to him. And so that's just my eternal truth that I always fall back on when I feel like I can't achieve a goal that I feel like is, you know, spiritually driven, is something that is divine and comes from above, then I go back to that spiritual truth.
That is so beautiful. I think my parting thought would be that in a world that's becoming more and more apathetic, with more and more people sitting and maybe doing nothing, the very act of setting goals can keep us anxiously engaged in a good cause and active. Our grandmother, my mom's mother, would always say, do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. And her point wasn't to do something wrong. Her point was to act, to be busy and doing something. And so, again, we're probably not going to meet all of our goals in the time we think, but at least we'll be facing in a direction and acting. And then the other thought I would close with is one that Mama always shared with us. That's that no good effort is wasted. So every good action is leading to something good, even if, again, we're not perfect in meeting our goals. So it's the new year. Take some time. Set your goals as a family, as a mom, with your children, and get ready for a fresh look at life.
So my thing,
go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. My parting thought is to remember when we're setting goals what Julie Bebeck said, mothers who know do less. Yes, we want to be active. We want to be doing things, but we also want to protect family time. So just recently we had the opportunity to try out for a play coming up in this next couple months. And as I was thinking through it, that if we were to try out for the play and be in the play, it would take up 3 nights a week. For January, February, March, which is also a key time for us to be home in the evenings reading books together as a family, which is more important. And throughout this whole process, we'll be reevaluating as we're goal setting, which is most important, which do I choose, which do I not choose? We need to make sure that we are just as actively not choosing things so that we can preserve our family time. I'm not saying not do anything then. We do need to do things, but we need to be careful about what we're choosing to do.
Thank you. I love Nen's thought about that we can change. We really can. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis, who says that if we'll let the Lord work with us, we think he's just going to fix our roof and, you know, repair our cement. But if we will just give ourselves to him, he can build a mansion out of us, if we will go to him with our goals. And the other thing, I just want to say thank you. I have a page of notes from the last 45 minutes of our discussion and things that I want to do better. So thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. It's been such a fun conversation.
And good luck with your goals for the new year.
We wish you all Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.